Hello, everybody. Entertainment Fuse proudly presents Digital High, and today we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about with a few fun people. Right, Vince?
Yeah. Was that your fun voice or your sexy voice?
Oh, you want the sexy voice?
No, never
mind. Hello, everybody. It's Gaming After Dark.
That's rape voice. No, don't get rapey, please.
Well, for a ginger, it's same thing.
Okay.
So we got a couple of people. Someone's actually making a comeback here, right, Donna?
Right. A comeback. I'm returning to bug you guys. See, Vince missed me. He just couldn't keep me away, so he asked me.
This is why I kept texting you, Donna.
Yeah, that's right.
You kept every day me. I would get a random text for Donna, but she meant to text her husband, but she kept texting me for some reason.
I have no idea what happened, but yeah, he's like, am I your new husband?
She's like, are you going to El Polo Loco today? I'm taking a shower right now. Do blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just like every day I was getting a random text from her. It's like, why is she telling me this stuff?
Yeah, those were meant for my husband. But still, you couldn't keep me away because of we played Titanfall together and you had to ask me to come back one last time.
Yeah. And of course, Donna just dominated, killed everybody.
Shut up.
There's a fourth person here, right?
Aaron. Yes.
Yes. Joshua, right?
I'm here. I'm also making a comeback for the second time.
Yeah. I figured he'd want to go a little more with that, but alrighty.
Bring it back.
He's back, baby.
Yeah, Donna, you only could be with us for a little bit, you said? Go dye your hair purple later or something?
No, I don't. My hair is
polka dot.
Very sufficiently colored, dark brown and pink right now. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Something really classy.
It looks good. You know, I don't really have to stay here at all.
You know, I love you.
I can't take this abuse anymore. I'm gone.
But I got to say you love me anyway. So, yeah, I can probably stay on it for about 40 minutes from now. And then I have to go because I had some last minute plans come up. So I have to do dinner and then take off. So,
okay. Well, all of us were in the Titanfall beta besides Aaron. So, Aaron, do you want to like run through what you've been playing between episodes?
Yeah. So we can in all honesty, it's been like a little bit of League of Legends, but then it's like getting Lightning Returns done as much as possible.
Oh, great. More Final Fantasy talk.
Yeah.
Just what the listeners want.
They might.
Well, I'm sure a few people concerning the outfits in that game, you know, there's a few waifu boys out there.
What is that? Waifu?
Waifu. Basically, it's a term if you pick a specific, like, fictional character to be, like, your imaginary wife. It's usually a joke thing, but some guys take it a little bit too far.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a term.
Do you watch Archer?
No.
Oh, okay.
I did, but I haven't watched it for a while. I missed like the last two seasons. Yeah. I didn't get caught up.
Because like the scientist guy has like a Japanese bride.
Oh yeah, that's a waifu, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, and then for the guy version, there's husbando.
So what you're saying is that for guys it's Asian, but for women they're Spanish.
Yeah, it's husbando. For some reason, it's husband O.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea why, but I'm like, okay.
So that means that, like, Sam Fisher is my husbando?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, it's like, if you could pick one fictional character to be, like, your lover for the rest of your life, that's your husbando or waifu or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Sounds so creepy. I don't know.
Nathan Drake or Sam Fisher is hard to say.
Have anyway. Two husbandos.
I don't believe you. Making this up. You're making this up.
No.
I think this is one of those internet things I didn't want to know. Like,
yeah, it's definitely
Brony. Like, I would have been better off not knowing.
Yeah.
Anything about that?
Because like the whole joke is Toriyama. I keep forgetting his first name. Toriyama, supposedly a lot of people call him Lightning his waifu. He's the guy who kind of designed or created Final Fantasy 13. He did a lot of better games for this one, but it's like he is just ape shit about Lightning. He just cramming it down our throats. Yeah, every time anything happens with a side quest, she has to wrap it up with like a narration. It's like, we fucking get it. She's like, you're like cream of the crop character, supposedly. We get it. You don't. She doesn't have to have the last word in everything.
Hmm. So as far as like the gameplay or story or anything, was there anything you wanted to add from last week?
Well, it's going in my review, but in all honesty, the side quests, they're better as far as story value than the actual main stories. Mm-hmm. Like the third chapter, I'm going to kind of spoil it a little bit, but not actually say details. You're kind of told right off the bat once you get it to like the last part of it, like the cast or whatever, that this is just foobar from the word go. That this is not going to end well for you at all. You're not going to be able to do anything positive for here at all. Just bar none. Nothing good will come of it. It's just you're going to be told why you were brought here. And that's it. Nothing else is actually explained. But like some of the side stories are actually really touching and appealing. Like you kind of find out about people's like murders and things like that. You reunite families. I mean, some of them are actually pretty darn well done. If like Lightning wouldn't just chime in at the last minute and narrate everything and kind of sum it all up for everybody, they're actually kind of good. I was like, okay, so you did the side quests well. What did you do with the main quests? You went bad.
So she does more than just like sword fight and magic. Like, is there investigation and conversations going on?
The whole goal she needs to do is basically, I'm not kidding, get people's souls. And usually the best way of doing it is by bringing them hope, by basically lifting their spirits, literally. And then when they kind of get hope and they actually want to go on to the next world, like they have no regrets, you know, they're happy where they're at, they're ready to go on. And then like their soul kind of leaves their body, which is kind of messed up because like, well, wait, they're soulless now, so whatever. But yeah, her whole thing is... technically, she doesn't have to lift a single finger. She doesn't fight anybody. It's just usually people fight her. So it's not like she goes around killing people. She's usually defending herself because people don't want their souls brought to the next world.
So yeah. She's the Grim Reaper.
Kind of. It's like, okay, everybody, you're all going to die. So we're going to try and get as many souls as possible. That's seriously, it's like, okay, you're not going to be able to get to go there anytime soon at all. So let's get as many people as possible because you've only got X amount of days. The more souls you get like maybe 5 more days added on. But no matter what, in 13 days, God wakes up and the world goes boom. Yeah.
Okay.
Donna, any questions?
No. No, I don't have any.
But yeah, I mean, it's okay, but I've gotten to the point where it's kind of messed up. I was thinking some of like the cooler looking outfits would be like, very powerful. You kind of get like it's really a crapshoot. In all honesty, if it follows the rules, the less armor she's wearing, the more powerful she is. I mean, I found one. I was like, really? It's called Amazon Warrior. I just saw the name. Whenever you get like a new outfit, it just says the name. I'm like, okay. Well, this is telling me one of two things. One, it's going to be extremely powerful. And or it's going to be really skimpy because of the fact that I just slapped on Amazon Warrior in there. It's like, okay, well, let's see. Are they going to go more Wonder Woman or are they going to go more, you know, Power Girl kind of thing with open cleavage? Yeah, it's such a two-piece bikini, basically. I'm like, oh, God, really,
guys?
But
the thing is she – does her body – changed?
No.
Because she seems pretty, like, flat.
She's stick. Well, I think they've upped her a little bit, but she's pretty much a stick figure. That and the one thing that kind of bugs me a little bit is she walks and she pops her hips whenever she walks. A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, really? I mean, like, she goes into a death arena, and here she is kind of popping her hip a little bit. I'm like, really? Like, fucking really? I mean, bad enough you have the Mokote dress, which is basically a cat girl outfit. I'm not kidding. I don't know if I brought it last time, but it's cat girl ears, tail, a mini skirt, and like a tube top. I'm like, really? It's like, and they decide to make it worse. It's like, okay, here's the thing. Let's make it really skanky, but make it really good in combat. So you feel like a dirty perv, but you're kicking ass. It's like... It's like, really? It's like some of the design choices are like, okay, like there's an outfit. It's like really powerful. And she's not, you know, skanked up. And I was like, all right, great. And it's all these sorts of colors. It's kind of like Jamaican colors and, you know, all sorts of designs. I was like, all right, that looks really cool, and I can't wait to change the colors. The only color you can change is like this itty bitty like little metal, like a emblem sitting on like a strap. And that's it. That's the only color you can change. Like, really? You know, I was going to go all Irish and make it like green, white, and orange, you know, or do whatever I wanted. No, you just completely took it from me. It's like, no, you get stuck with the green, yellow, and red. That's it.
I'm like, I was surprised if you talked about clothes more than Donna ever did when she was on the show.
Well, you got to dress for the right occasion. If you're going to be killing a fire-breathing dragon, you got to bring your best armor. Come on.
Wow. Oh. You know, Aaron, I've missed you.
See, you need me on Pink and Deadly. I can just talk like this. It'll be okay. It's okay.
Well, I do want you to come on Pink and Deadly, so.
All right.
He uses normal voice or no?
Yes, of course. Well, use all his voices, the whole bring array. Bring
sexy, great voice. How you doing, ladies? How you doing?
Wow. But anyway, was there anything, before we get to the fun Titanfall talk, is there any other creepy Japanese stuff you want to bring up?
Nah. I'll save it for the review if there's anything left.
Okay. Donna, I know you're a huge Call of Duty, or you were a huge Call of Duty fan. Josh, what were you, a Call of Duty guy, a Halo guy, Battlefield guy, or what?
I played a bit of Modern Warfare, the first one, which was really fun. I enjoyed 2 a bit, then I kind of started to taper off. I liked Black Ops somewhat, but it's kind of turned into, I will rent the game, play like 2 matches online, and just say, all right, I'm done. So I'm mainly a Battlefield fan myself.
Okay, you have good taste. And Donna, yeah. I'm curious how you thought of it. I know a little bit since we played together, and when you were dominating everybody. But how'd you like Titanfall?
I hate you guys. I think it's super fun, mm-hmm. and I'm excited to see what kind of you know, we've seen some of the stuff that's been leaked that we're supposed to talk about later, but I think it's going to be fun to see what other things they have in store for us as far as, you know, tricking out your Titan and the weapons and all that stuff. So I think it's fun. I like that that you have options with your Titan, that you can have it follow you, you can drive it. I like that you can, as a soldier or a pilot, actually take down another guy's Titan, which is cool, so it's a little more balanced. I like it. It's a lot of fun.
Something I didn't realize until the end was you can actually eject at any time. You don't have to take damage. Like, if you hit down on the D-pad, it'll follow you. If you hit up on the D-pad and tap X a few times, you can eject, like, whenever. So that can be good for if you lose and you're trying to get to the dropship. You can just eject when it's like, you know, 7 seconds left. But it's weird because during the beginning, it was kind of like back and forth as far as if we would win or not. But then I looked at, once I got the hang of it, my team like was always winning. I think my win percent was like 80%, 85% or something like that. Because like once you get the hang of it, and something you really can't do in Battlefield is you can carry a team. And this is only 12 of you, and it's not that much stuff going on. I found I was able to carry the team if I need to. Usually I had good teammates, but if I had crappy teammates, I could carry us. So that was good, because sometimes I can be frustrated in Battlefield. You put in so much work, and you do get a lot of points still, but you still lose the match. Because when it's, you know, 63 other guys, you only can do so much. You can get your own points, but you can't make your team win.
Yeah, you're a very small part of a bigger battle going on in Battlefield.
Yeah, in a lot of ways I like that. But in this felt like a weird hybrid of Call of Duty and Titanfall to me, because the Titans are a lot like tanks, and when you like just like when you see a tank in Battlefield and you're on foot, you're gonna hide and try to think, okay, if I'm an engineer or if I'm recon, how am I going to blow it up? And I kind of think the same way as I do in Battlefield when I see it. In Titanfall when I see a Titan. But it has that Call of Duty arena completely Twitch feel also.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that kind of bums me out a little bit is this doesn't seem like a teamwork game at all. Similar to Call of Duty. Like, this is way too fast to be a teamwork game. Actually, overall, I would say, like, the strengths of these guys of Respawn, when they were Infinity War, are still the same strengths and still the same weaknesses. As far as like their weaknesses, like they aren't good at coming up with objective game types. They aren't good at AI. They haven't never really been good at graphics necessarily. Like the game runs great, the 60 frames per second, and it feels really good and it looks really good. It looks really smooth, but it doesn't look. Battlefield 4 looks way better than this. So it's just like those little things. They've never been good at teamwork. Call of Duty had no teamwork to me at all, unless you're doing like search and destroy. But who really does that? And but also their strengths, like their strengths are still their strengths. It feels badass. It feels really smooth. Like I had moments where I was actually like laughing out loud or like smiling. Like I in a multiplayer game, like laughing where you're playing a multiplayer game is something that rarely happens for me.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. You do feel badass. You're right. I mean, it kicks ass to drive that Titan around, you know, to pilot that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's cool.
Did any of you guys happen to get the Strider Titan?
No.
There's the burn cards. And
yeah,
one of the burn cards I got, like, the last day of the beta was to call down a Strider, like, immediately. Right when the match starts, I was able to call down a Strider, which is the smaller, more agile one, which actually you can't pick in the beta, so it was kind of exclusive to the burn cards.
Yeah, they actually had all three. I saw a few of the heavier type. Yeah, and just some YouTube videos of it too. But I actually saw a few. I think what the bigger ones are like ogres.
I got an ogre.
Yeah,
in my burn cards. I played an ogre.
From my experience, the Strider seemed to play much different, which was pretty exciting. It doesn't seem like that each time is going to play the same. People will probably latch on to either they want the quick speed, or I'm assuming the ogre's ability is maybe taking less damage or having more of a shield. The Strider's special, instead of the damage core, was like the marathon core, I think. And you have unlimited dash, so you can kind of move around extremely quick, which
nice.
I liked it quite a bit.
I'd love that.
But the thing is, from seeing the three different ones on YouTube videos, as playing the Atlas and see the other two as YouTube, it seems like people are going to gravitate towards the Ogre a lot more. Since that can take the most damage, and the chassis boost or ability or whatever is like an unlimited shield. It's kind of like an overshield from Halo. So, I mean, I'm sure they'll find some way to balance it, but I hope like that is always like the go-to one.
Right.
I wanted to say, like, the game does feel extremely balanced for where it's at right now. Like, you never feel like when there's a Titan around that you can't, you know, you have no chance. It always feels like you can do something.
Right.
Whether you're on the ground or you're in your Titan, or, you know, it just feels balanced, and you don't feel outmatched when the team gets their Titan first or they're up by two Titans. It doesn't seem like the match is lost right after that. Which is really good. I felt like that was something that I was a bit worried about, but they definitely nailed it there, at least in the beta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. The only complaint I have is that dumb pistol.
The smart pistol?
Yes.
I hate
it. I just, ugh.
I really had no problem with it. My only thing might be, because I'm not sure if you guys noticed, but a lot of times the person with the most minion kills would have the most like XP or attrition points or whatever.
Yeah.
And my only thing is, are these people focusing on just going around getting 40 minion kills with their silly pistol rather than actually killing pilots? Like, are they just happen to kill? Do they just happen to kill minions, or are they actually going out just to kill minions? Because if I mean, either way, they should lower the like XP and the points for minion kills anyway. Obviously Atlas kills or just Titan kills in general should be the most XP, since those that's the hardest thing to pull off.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And there are so many of the AI in the map that it's easy to just completely destroy them and get all that XP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean I've literally seen walked into an area and had a group of them, of probably 11 of them, all like in just one little area, and I could chuck a grenade and blow all of those little fuckers up.
Yeah, especially they deploy the same way too. Because on Fracture, I was usually going, I think it was the other map that wasn't Angel City, right? Fracture.
Yeah.
On Fracture, I was like usually go to that underground pipe area first, and then there's always like six or eight yes, grunts there. And like there sometimes is. I would just throw a grenade just to make sure none of them were human. Because I did run into that a little bit of people kind of crouching into AI. And you're just thinking, oh, it's nothing but AI and walking past. And then you look at the kill cam and there's a freaking human. But yeah, the way this is deployed every single time, that kind of reminds me of Call of Duty. Because like, I remember when I used to play Call of Duty, sometimes people would start the match, walk 5 feet, throw a grenade over the wall because they just know someone's going to be there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hope they add a little bit more randomness to it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I'll probably buy that game.
You will probably buy it or you would definitely buy it?
Yeah, I'll probably buy it.
I will definitely. I think it sucks that it's gone. Like, I wish it was still there. Like, I wish it was out right now. Like, I want to play it right now.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I played the beta with the first day I got it, and I played it, and then the next day I'm like, oh man, I want to go play Titanfall.
Yeah.
So I kept thinking, yeah, man, I want to go play Titanfall. I wish there were more maps on Titanfall because you got really tired of those two maps. But yeah. That's true. I'll buy it.
Yeah, I never really got tired of Angel City, but Fracture. It felt more like a Titan map. It's such a limited space to go when you're a pilot, because you don't go in the open field when you're a freaking pilot, because someone's just gonna look over there from the top of a building or through a window or whatever, and they'll shoot you. So it's very limited amount of walk space in Fracture.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, I really liked Angel City. I thought that map was a blast.
Yeah.
So.
Seems like they picked those maps deliberately. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, the Fracture one is much more open, less vertical. And that's a lot more space for your Titan. And then the Angel City, you know, tons of buildings, rooftops, to kind of show off the movement system, which in my opinion is the best thing in the game. Like the Titans are really cool, but the way you move in that game just puts it on a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the wall jumps and stuff are really cool.
Yeah, it's really smooth. Like I enjoy that. It almost felt like a Mirror's Edge a little bit to it. But yeah. Aaron, did you have any questions? I know you didn't play it, but maybe you're wondering something.
Well, I mean, the one thing that sounds kind of interesting is I wouldn't mind actually seeing if they take it a bit further, maybe do a little spin-off or two with it. Like maybe think about doing more of an open world kind of setting. You know, with you have giant mechs and things like that. Like that could be like the next thing. I mean, we've all seen like zombie shooters and things like that. Like, what about this and be a little more open world? Because I mean, you make the mech sound really, really cool, and that's something we haven't seen in a long time. Is a good mech versus mech kind of game. I mean, I like being able to, like, soldiers be able to take out mechs, but I mean, when's the last time we've had a good mech, like, battle arena or open battle style game?
Did Hawken ever turn out to be good?
Well, Hawken's actually not too bad. I like Hawken, but I mean, that's one. Mm. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, for me to say it's an okay genre or it's an okay place where it's at is if you can easily say 3 to 5 games right off the top of your head. Yeah. I mean, it's like boom, boom, boom. There you go. This case, it's like Hawken and a lot of people say MechWarrior Online, but I tried that and that to me is almost pay to win. So, I mean,
yeah. But the thing about the Titans is that it's not a mech game like they used to be, the really cool mech games where you'd be in your, you know, giant mech and you could like shoot a leg off and you would still have to you'd have like a leg missing from your mech and you would still have to, you know, get by with that missing limb. The Titans aren't like that at all.
Okay.
Once they go,
I wouldn't say they feel like mechs, though. I'm sure Donna and Josh, if you agree, it almost feels more like battle armor. It feels more like Iron Man's first, like, Ironmonger suit. It feels like you're in that, a bigger version of that, more so than a big mech.
Yeah, because I guess that's true, but it is the sheer size of the Titans, though, is what makes it feel a little bit different, is because they're huge.
But they don't have that weight. And like playing, like I remember playing Chrome Hounds when that first came out. And it would probably take like 10 minutes just to walk from one end of the map to the other because it was like just so slow. Like in this, you're basically moving like a human. You're moving like a big human in this,
right?
Yeah, and you can dodge and stuff, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. See, I'd rather have that because that's more about the actual action. You see, in you know, anime, TV shows, movies, it's not about strategy and things like that. You know, like Pacific Rim wasn't like, okay, we need to make sure over here this time. It was all about high speed action.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's what I want to see from the mech games. I don't want to see, you know, like Mech Warrior where you have to target them in the right areas and have the right setup. It's just, you know, guys in giant suits of armor, basically, with, you know, super-powered weapons that a normal human wouldn't be able to hold up going head-to-head. Right. That's what I think would be, like, the next step. And that's what kind of sounds like Titanfall's like, but doesn't have a huge focus on it. But I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing a focus on it. Like, maybe someone else kind of takes it in that general direction. So it sounds cool. It does sound cool. Though.
They're like Last Titan Standing. Oh. It's basically just you straight in Titan suits. Yeah. And you don't get a respawn. So it's basically, you know, team deathmatch in Titan suits, no respawn. So, I mean, and actually, I'll bring up the NeoGAF info. On the PC side of things, the guys looked through some files, and basically all the weapons, all the maps, all of the everything has been uncovered.
Right.
And for the maps, it looks like there's going to be about 14, 15. Do you guys think that's a good number for a multiplayer-only game?
That's pretty good.
I think that's pretty good.
Bet your ass there's going to be a season pass that's going to be available day one.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So
there will be plenty more if you want some.
Yep. I kinda want some. Yeah, I do. Exactly. I'm with you, Josh. Yeah, I kind of want some.
What else am I going to play on my Xbox? That's what.
Okay, I'm looking through for the game modes.
I see
Hardpoint. That was in the beta.
Yes.
Capture Flag. Obviously, we know what that is. Attrition, Last Titan Standing, and there's one more is Pilot Hunter. I'm not sure what Pilot Hunter is. But,
Going off of what it reads here, it sounds like it's a mode without the Titans. Because if you go to Attrition, it says Pilots, Grunts, Titans. And Pilot Hunter just sounds like enemy pilots, so maybe not even the AI grunts. It's just you and five other players versus six more.
I don't know. Maybe would that just be Call of Duty? And do you guys think this is Call of Duty robots online? You know, sentiment. Would you guys say that's correct or overstatement?
I think there's a lot of differences. I mean, there's going to be similarities because it's respawn, but I don't think it's a carbon copy. I wouldn't call this Call of Duty with Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And even if Pilot Hunter is, as Josh suggests, if it is, just kind of the pilots against pilots and that's it with no AI, that's even cooler than Call of Duty because of the jumps and stuff you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. That is sure.
Yeah. And I mean, you can see the pedigree. I mean, Respawn made those groundbreaking Call of Duty games that, you know, got it on the map for basically everybody. Mm-hmm. You can see it there, but it's definitely, it feels like a good mix of Battlefield and Call of Duty, whereas Call of Duty is the, you know, close range twitch shooter. Battlefield is the more slower paced, maybe more, you know, tactical. And whereas, you know, Titanfall takes place, at least from what we've seen, more at a medium kind of range. And you also have the mechs, which are basically a second life, because once your mech goes down, you do have the, like, the doom state where it tells you to eject. So it's pretty tough to kill somebody when they're in their Titan.
Yeah, it is.
Unless you get ripped out, really. Or if you don't eject, those are really, like, the only two ways to die. And I would say, like, the Titan combat actually felt to me had more strategy than the pilot combat. Because the pilot combat is completely twitch-based. It's like you either can aim fast and well, or you can't. But there were sometimes I was in one versus one fights, or even like one versus two, one versus three, when I'm the one outnumbering, I still can figure out a way to win. Because like, it's a lot, people have a lot of different strategies, even in the beta with limited, you know, weapons and attributes and stuff. Because like, I really didn't see too many people do what I was doing. Cause I was basically like kind of shoot you with the three blast cannon. I put like three bursts on the cannon. If someone got close to me, I would like turn the electric smoke on and just start punching them in the face over and over. And then even I probably could take at least one or two down. And then the next guy, I would just try to get close to him. And then by the time he killed me, it'd be nuclear ejection time. I could probably kill him with that or damage him enough to rodeo on him and kill him. So just like, you know, it's easy to get two or three if you're thinking of a strategy ahead of time. And oddly, a lot of people didn't have electric smoke. Like a lot of, because as Aaron, as you probably saw in the trailers and videos and stuff, there's that shield that can grab projectiles.
Yeah.
That's your left bumper if you're playing on Xbox. So that's your left bumper. But you also you can sub that for electric smoke and it'll just, you know, surround you with smoke and the smoke is electrified. So if someone's rodeoing you trying to hijack your, not hijack, but like destroy your Titan, it'll electrocute them eventually and they'll die. Ooh. A lot of people went with the shield. I think maybe once people get used to the real game, they'll lean more towards the smoke. Because sure. With the shield, you can just dodge more. Or just hide around, not hide, but take cover around corners more often. And you don't really need a shield. I thought electric smoke was way better.
Yeah, if you use cover intelligently enough, you'd be able to go sand shield. This way, you know, if someone goes above a building, jumps on top of your Titan, that shield's not going to be able to do anything for you. So, yeah, I'd rather have the electric smoke in a heartbeat.
Yeah, because the only way to really get them off is if a teammate shoots them off, which really never happened. I did that a lot when I was like, what's that dot coming from my teammates? Like, oh, he's getting rodeoed. I would shoot them off. But a lot of people like try to shake them off like it's freaking mechanical bull. Like, you can't shake them off. Just be still. Just like crouch down in front of a teammate if someone's rodeoing you. But either that or you can hop out yourself and shoot them off. But you could die doing that. So this is why I always lean toward electric smoke.
I like the smoke also, but like you're saying, the ability to jump on Titans, like just going back to the movement, like being able to bounce off a building wall to another wall and then right onto your Titan, you know, because you can enter your Titan from any location, whether you run up to it, you run straight up to it, jump on top of it, you jump off a wall onto it, like it's all really fluid. It doesn't feel like no action is being broken up. And also, when you hop into your Titan and the screens kind of turn on, that's just fucking super cool. Just the effect of the screens like turn on because you have the three panels. It's not just kind of one screen.
Yeah.
I got a good kick out of that.
The feeling of that reminds me of, like, I'm not sure if you guys have seen Iron Man 3 yet, but the climax of Iron Man 3 when they're like the oil rig and he's like just jumping into the different suits. Like that feeling like kind of just reminded me of that.
Okay. Yeah, like I thought it actually looked pretty cool. Like you would jump and like the Titan would actually grab you and like pull you into it. I thought that was kind of neat. It's like you manually climb into it. It's like grab, pull, boom, you're in.
Yeah, and they, like Josh was saying, there's like probably what 3 to 5 different animations depending on which direction you're coming in.
Yeah. It's just all so seamless. Like you don't feel like you're getting pulled out of the action trying to get into your Titan or waiting to call down your Titan. I mean, even if you're inside a building or on top of a building, you can call your Titan and it'll find the nearest point to you on the ground to get down.
Yeah.
And the, like I said, the AI in the Titan itself, not necessarily the grunts. The grunts will kind of look at you and not really shoot at you. They're pretty mindless. But the Titan, as far as I saw, like having the follow ability, it was actually pretty smart at, you know, in combat by itself, finding your position, getting to the best place for you to access it if you need to. I thought that was all pretty well done also.
Yeah.
And who doesn't love it that when you call your Titan down and it lands on people, it squishes them and kills them?
Oh.
Yeah. I would do that for other Titans too. You can, I don't think it'll work if a Titan has full health, but if it's on fire, if it's damaged a little bit, you can do your Titan drop right on top of that Titan and that one will explode. So it's a nice way to get a quick kill.
And that was something that was a total blast too, is you would get into your Titan, you would see a Titan roaming around that was on fire or on smoking, and your Titan's got full health, so you could just go up there and punch that Titan like right in the neck. And that's it. It's like done. Like the melee kill on the Titan is a blast and it's really effective. I literally, most of my Titan kills were because I sat there and just punched the shit out of that other Titan.
But you can't really spam that if the person's good, in case someone's like listening thinking, oh great, you just rock 'em sock 'em robots now. But no, if the person's, I never really died or got hurt from getting punches, I always dash backwards or, you know, just think of some other way out of it. The only time I really die from getting punched or ripped out is if I'm just, you know, surrounded 1v3 and it kind of surprised me.
Right. Yeah, sometimes when you had a few of them on your back, it would be a little tough. Mm-hmm. You had like two or three Titans on you. It's like, shit.
I thought it was weird people kept harping on the crappy AI. Because, like, the grunts, it really, the Spectres, the robot AI, as far as the ground ones, they really aren't that bad. It's really just the grunts who are awful.
Yeah, they are.
Stand there. But, I mean, people just kept, I think it was just, I don't even know sure if it was people actually playing a game. It seemed more like just PS4 people who just wanted to say something bad about Titanfall from what I saw. But people could say, oh my God, it has bad AI. Screw that game. It's like they aren't there really to kill. They're just there to look cool. Kind of, it makes it feel like a campaign. Because sometimes you'll walk into a room and you'll see them wrestling with each other. Or you'll see them, you know, dragging a dead body to a medic. Or, just that, like, old school WWE World War II, you know, type stuff you would see in Call of Duty 2. Like, you know, just AI doing random stuff to make it feel more epic. Like, that's really all the AI is there for. As far as the enemy AI, your Titan AI, like Josh said, is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have that stuff in there because of, I mean, the campaign is the multiplayer. It's just, I'm really interested to see how they do that stuff, like if they're gonna have maybe specific modes like that they can stick in just for the campaign. Because I mean, they broke it up into the you can have the multiplayer if you want, just straight a multiplayer, no story, or you can have the campaign, which I mean, I guess it leaves them a little bit open if they wanted to make small variations. That could be interesting. I mean, they haven't really said too much about that yet, though. There's not much.
Well, they said it'll be like actual like campaign cutscenes.
I'm assuming because you have the two factions that you're broken up into, and you have the kind of silhouettes kind of pop up in the upper right hand corner, kind of telling you what to do. And I'm assuming that those characters are going to be in it, and maybe we'll see some cutscenes. I'm sure those people are the main characters you'll be interacting with.
Right.
I don't know. I think they're just kind of insinuated, kind of like with Left 4 Dead, they would like the writing on the wall type stuff. I'd be shocked if it went past that. Like, I'm sure they'll, like, they drop little hints. Like, when you're on, I don't remember the names of the different sides, but when you're, I think when you're on, like, the white and gray side, they call the other team terrorists. And so they, they say stuff like that, like, we can't let these terrorists win. And I'm not sure what they call the other guys when you're on the other team. But yeah, it's, I'm sure they'll drop hints, but I'd be shocked if they had, like, actual characters and cutscenes and stuff between matches. That would be cool, though.
It would be cool.
Yeah. And add a little bit of flair to it.
Is it time for you to go?
I have to go, yeah, in just a couple minutes. So I have to say goodbye. But can I say a couple things before I
exit? Sure.
Okay. So I didn't have a chance really to say goodbye to the Digital High folks when I went back to doing my Pink and Deadly podcast. But I did want to say that to the listeners out there, thank you for the good times. And Vince, as much as I like to say he's an asshole, I really do like Vince, and I'm not going to say that much more than just now. But he and Justin, the owners of Entertainment Fuse, have been really awesome through this, and we're still a partner with them. So you'll be able to hear Pink and Deadly on Entertainment Fuse, and we will always promote Digital High and Entertainment Fuse on Pink and Deadly. So I just wanted to say that. And you guys, Vince and Aaron, you guys have to come on, right? You will, right? Right? Right?
Yeah. Right?
Perhaps.
Count me in.
Yeah, well, I know Aaron will, so whatever. Maybe. Vince. So anyway, that's it. Yeah, I have to go, but thank you for having me, and it was fun playing Titanfall, and you guys enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay. Maybe we'll have you on when the real game comes out at the replay.
Yeah,
I could teach you some more tips.
Yes, you
on
could.
How to get good. I told Donna this huge secret. Hey, put a silencer on your gun.
Well, I didn't want the accuracy to decline, so.
Yeah, there is.
But I didn't notice there was a change, so that's good. But
this is almost Call of Duty. This is 100% accuracy. So you getting 98% accuracy will be fine.
Well, whatever, Vince. So anyway, yeah, I'm gonna go, and let me just say it's pinkanddeadly.com, so gotta get that out there too. Okay. Bye,
thank
guys.
You for all those plugs, Donna. Goodbye.
Bye, Donna.
I'm looking at this NeoGAF thread some more, and I'm just actually some of the stuff I wish they had in the beta is in here. Like, it looks like they have kind of like a C4 equivalent that you can detonate with a remote. It looks like they have mines in the full game. So, I mean, there's some of that more Battlefield stuff that you can, like, prepare for. Mm. Some of the stuff I was wishing for. Because certain times you would see, like, just two or three Titans walking down the street. I'm just thinking, geez, I wish I was, you know, I wish this was Battlefield. I was an engineer with some mines instead of, you know, actually shooting at them and risking getting shot. Yeah. So I think the full game having C4 and mines and stuff is really cool.
Do you think we'll see the kind of thing in Battlefield where you C4 your own Titan and then you run up and just blow your Titan up or blow up your C4? Because that's pretty prevalent in Battlefield.
Yeah, I mean, why not just choose nuclear ejection at that point, though?
Yeah.
Bigger explosion. You got twice the explosion there.
Blow I don't think C4. It'll work like that.
I don't know.
Like that, yeah. To me, that's one thing I want to know about. It's just like, you know, you're talking about the atomic ejection. It's like, how long of a countdown do you have until it actually blows up? You know,
I mean, as soon as you eject out, it'll blow. You can
really? So yeah. It's like instantaneous.
Yeah, like, because the thing is, like, once your Titan health basically gets to zero, it goes into doom mode. And then from there, like, once it's doomed, you have maybe, like, what, 10 seconds to get out? And you have to basically tab X to eject. And then your seat or your guy just goes flying to the sky. Right. And you can look down and see this, like, pretty big explosion. And, you know, sometimes it'll be like you got a double kill or triple kill or no kills. Because, like, towards the end, people realized you should dash backwards. The dumber people didn't. They still stood right there. But like, good, you know, the people who are actually good at the game would still, like, try to run toward a mech and punch it. Because punching a mech is pretty cool when you, like, push your hand through his chest. But, yeah.
Oh, like, it actually goes through his chest?
Yeah. Like, the cop, you can, like, if it's in Doom state and you get meleeed and you stay in it, then that's, you probably saw it in the trailer, like, that's when the Titan, like, rips into the cockpit and, like, picks the pilot up and then throws him, like, sometimes you just throw him into a wall and there's, when I had it done to me a few times, and you actually see it happening to you in first person.
Yeah, so that was really pretty wicked view.
Yeah, like, if this ever had Oculus Rift support, like, that would probably be one of the crazier moments.
Man, people are freaking, oh my god, you're taking me down! That just sounds so cool to me that they went that far. Like, usually, like, all of a sudden, just it blacks out. Like, it just punches in, maybe, and then, like, cracks your spine, and then that's it. You know, you see nothing of that. The fact they kind of go that much detail to that's really cool.
Yeah, it has a lot of detail. I mean, the thing is, like, it's people who haven't played the game and just like to criticize it, it's just like, the game is just pure fun. That's really all it is. Like, it's not, you know, yeah. It's not the best looking game. It's not the smartest game. It's not. It's just pure fun.
It plays well and smooth.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not everything needs to be The Last of Us, or not everything, right. You know, needs to have the best graphics in the world. Like, this is a fun. Like, you would be smiling if you like shooters. And, like, just our, you know, competitive games in general, like, you would be smiling and laughing the whole time you play this game.
See, that's pretty cool. Because to me, like, I completely agree. It's like, if I ever didn't seem like I was knocking, I wasn't. Just, I'm always hesitant to it. And I'm always like, you know, what's new about it? And in all honesty, it's what it comes down to with a shooter like that. You can't go too far with most first-person shooters. You know, you can't do a lot of groundbreaking things. But the one thing you got to get down is it plays well. You know, it's got to be smooth. It can't be herky-jerky. You know, it can't be stuttery. It can't be, you know, looking too ugly. You know, if it plays smooth and the action's pretty fast, then, yeah, I mean, that's all you can really ask for most first-person shooters nowadays. And you ask for anything more, you know, you're just high. It just, you're being ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So
It's much more fun to play than it is to look at, because I feel like the criticisms come that when you just look at the game, maybe when you're just starting out, like, just it looks like Call of Duty. You can't deny it. It has that style of what a Call of Duty game looks like. But it's when you get your hands on it and you start, you know, getting comfortable with the controls and how the Titans work. Like, once you get into that rhythm, it totally changes the game. It does not. It plays at its basic component, it feels a bit like Call of Duty, but when you throw in the movement and the Titans and the different abilities and the burn cards. Like it's its own thing.
Yeah, and the burn cards are cool. Aaron, have you been following? You know what those are?
A little bit, I'm kind of picking up what that is. It's almost like an archetype kind of like system. Almost seems like.
It's kind of like a perk, from Call of Duty, but you only get it for one life. Like for example, you might get like amped. One I like was an amped rocket launcher, and let's say it takes you know 6 rockets to bring down a Titan. If you have an amped rocket launcher, it'll take 2 or 3 hits to bring it down. But you only have that you select 3 once you get to the highest level, and 3 is the most you can get, at least in the beta. You pick 3 and then you activate it once you're actually playing. And then like let's say you activate an amp rocket launcher, you shot a few Titans, and then you know someone broke your neck. Then that card is gone because you died.
But that one game though,
it's gone forever. The thing is, if you're good at the game and you're winning, you'll probably get like 4 or 5 cards per game anyway.
Now, yeah. Is there like a limit to how many you can hold, or is it like you just pick?
There's a limit. Okay, I'm not sure what it is. Probably what. Like 20 or something like that.
That's
Josh.
You can bring 3 into a game. So each game you play, you can bring 3 new cards in. But I want to say, yeah, it's probably like 20 or 30 you can hold on to. But by the end of the beta, I had so many cards, I didn't know what to do with them. It doesn't seem like a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You're going to go through them anyway. So it's not like you got like, I don't know. You know, you're not going to hold on to it like a JRPG. It's like, I'm going to hang on to these potions forever. No.
And you can discard them. Because like a lot of them were kind of silly, it might be amped pistol for like your secondary pistol. Like I'm not, you don't. It's not. This is not a game where you use your secondary pistol, like or amped sniper rifle and stuff like that. And I actually tried sniping in one match. It wasn't bad. For me at least, I'm not a sniper, but it was easy to get the guys who were like standing on top of roofs shooting down. Right. But this game is so fast. I don't think sniping or camping would be popular in this. So I think that's something. That alone puts it ahead of Call of Duty, because that's one of the reasons I got tired of Call of Duty, just due to the camping and the constant sniping.
Right. It almost seemed to me like whenever they're going to do sniping, it's going to be somewhat like Battlefield, you know, and be more like a recon kind of thing. But even then, I don't know about that. I was always kind of wondering, because I didn't see a lot of open areas that would like screamed out, hey, look out for snipers right here. It just seemed like, you know, sniping is mid-range at best. And even then, you know, might as well just have an assault rifle. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I got killed by a sniper like once. Like, I really didn't run into sniping at all.
Mm. Anyway. So, you do get also rewarded instead of like something like the kill streaks in Call of Duty or something like that. Every time you kill a pilot or a grunt or a Titan, you're... timer for your Titan to fall decreases. So if you start out pretty good, so I want to say when you initially start the game, it's probably like 3:50 or 4 minutes until your Titan falls. But if you go around, take out a few grunts, get a good kill streak going, maybe 4 or 5 pilots you kill, your Titan could go from 4 minutes to, you know, you only had to wait 30 seconds to get your Titan. And that can put you at a good advantage if you have your Titan before everybody else.
Yeah, okay. And there's some of the burn cards are for that too. You can take off like, yeah. I think it's all 80 seconds off your like creation time, or 40 seconds were like the main two I kept getting. But yeah, I would say that is a big advantage. And luckily they did, the time for that is right. Cause like the pilots, I think take 30 seconds off, and the grunts take like 3 or maybe 5 seconds off. Yeah. So that seems about right.
Cool, cool.
So did you, either you have like any final comments or questions before we hop to the next story?
I employed the tactic of having the nuclear ejection, and when I would go into the doom state, I would dash as close as I could to as many people as I could and eject.
Mm-hmm.
But the smart people would melee me right away and pull me out. But you know, at the beginning of the game, if you want a few kills, just dash into people and eject.
Yeah. I mean, you have to smoke them. You have to get close, smoke them, and eject.
Oh, you're right. I should have done that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any last thing on it? It looks pretty good. You know, I'm definitely going to give it a shot. Before, I was going to be, you know, kind of put off to the side and try it way down the road. But, I mean, this one, I think it sounds like I'm going to give it a shot. I'm a big fan of first-person shooters that it's just all online multiplayer and are going to have a focus on online multiplayer, but this one at least sounds like it's going to be worth at least renting and trying out for a little while. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it a shot.
Okay. And our next story is actually for a PS4 game, which is The Order 1886. Mm-hmm. This week they had, their second trailer. And this one really, the trailer itself, there was also some gameplay montages and like B-roll that was out there. But like the actual trailer really only had 10, 20 seconds of actual like gameplay and characters. Like most of it was just like narration of maps and...
Yeah.
I hate trailers like that. I think Wolfenstein actually had a better trailer when they were going through the gears. Maybe because they were playing... that like remixed Jimi Hendrix song. Maybe that's the only reason that was kind of cool. But I remember liking that trailer a little bit more than this one. Because they're basically the same trailer almost.
To me, it's not a trailer if it's just some guy talking about it. Then we get, you know, Peter Molyneux. I mean, he might as well just start up a company and just call it, you know, Molyneux Syndrome. And basically he just goes on and he talks about the game. You know, everybody can talk and make their game sound amazing, and yet every game on paper sounds good. But to show it and actually execute it, yeah, no, that's where you're going to see, okay, that looks ugly. How is that, you know, all this is all context sensitive, you know, oh yeah, it sounds great that, oh, he's going to be able to stab people in the neck and things like that. That's just, you know, an auto melee attack, and it just happens so often it's going to lose its, you know, cool charm after 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing. It's the way I say it, it's just show me. Don't tell me. Show me. You know, stop your grin and drop your linen kind of thing. I want to see it. I don't want you to tell me about it.
I don't think I heard that expression before. Okay.
Well, it applies to something else, obviously. But, I mean, it holds the same purpose.
Is that a ginger expression?
In this case, yes. But, I mean, so, just did, to kind of be guys... a bit. Go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
Did you guys see the? Because there is a 3 or 4 minute trailer of just gameplay. It has some voiceover from some guy, but there is a gameplay. It's only gameplay.
Really?
I was gonna try and find it for you guys. I checked it out.
See, the fact that you say you have to try to find it tells me that's the problem. See, that's the thing. It's like.
Are we talking about like when the guy like dies from one roof to the next and his foot gets stuck and they go in the alley and get to a shootout.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, I saw it cut up into different segments, but I didn't see it.
You just make it sound like it's just one solid trailer, and it's just like the guy that's talking that cuts it up. They just turn him into a voiceover rather than actually showing the clips of him talking. Is that right, Josh?
I want to say it was just kind of like a straight piece of gameplay. This might be it here, so I'm going to check it out. If it is, I'll send it to you guys.
Okay.
Mm. But that's just something that's not a good way to sell your game. Like saying the history of it. Or like,
yeah.
It's just like you're saying, just it's easy to make it sound awesome. Just show us, especially when the graphics look good. Like the graphics look crazy.
Yeah. And I was so like, okay, wait a minute, this is what everybody was bitching about? I mean, this looks really good. I mean, this looks like it could be definitely the first like real PS4 game. I'm like, okay. I'm kind of sold. I'm tempted to actually get a PS4 just for this game. I mean, granted, I didn't see anything that was like groundbreaking except for that one cutscene, which he's got the guy pinned down. He's looking at him, and it's got like a symbol over his face, and then he looks to the right, and then it shows the blade, and the triangle button pops up, and he hits it, and then he stabs the guy. And it's like, all right, that you kind of got me sold there, but I think that's going to be like an underused gimmick, in which rather than actually kind of looking around the environment, it's going to make a few times you just have to, you know, press right. You don't actually look. You just press in the direction, automatically it looks that way, or after a while, it just kind of auto-looks over in the direction. I just think that's going to be something that looks cool, but it'll be just too context-sensitive.
I don't want any quick time events. Like, I'm over quick time events. Please, no more.
All right, I wanted that to be like you actually have to, like, once you do that kind of thing, they actually take a little skill to knock the guy down. You actually have to look around. And if you're like, oh, look, there's a brick, I'll use that instead of the knife. You know, grab the brick, you know, that's square instead, grab the brick, and then, you know, I have to, like, hit him, you know, or just automatically goes through a little cutscene kind of thing. That's what I want to see, you know. But
I mean, my only thing is it came like ignoring the trailer and actually like paying attention to the gameplay, like the like you said, the graphics looked really good. But it's just like it's weird that it's really just a third person shooter with no multiplayer. And like I said, I think last week, like this is supposed to be the big PS4 game of this year.
Yeah, I mean we can go back into that, but I mean it just there's a lot. I don't want to say riding on it, but it seems to me like there's a lot of questions about it. It just seems like there's too many questions out of answers, and I don't know if they're going to – I don't think it's going to have the hype enough for it, in all honesty, and I think it's going to kind of flop. I think something's going to overshadow it, in all honesty. I think it's going to do okay, but not as well as it should have. You know, I don't think they're going to lead up to enough as they could be doing.
I mean, I think Sony would push it, especially if this was to be their big holiday game or
well, yeah,
game.
But I mean, who, in all honesty, I know there's a lot of Sony fanboys that watch, like, Sony and things like that, but I mean, there's going to be more people that are going to watch, say, like, IGN or Machinima or, you know, other, like, media sites, and they're going to pay attention to them more than PlayStation. I mean, I'm not saying people don't, but I think there's going to be a majority of people that are going to be away from PlayStation purely and more towards like sites where they can actually watch videos and things like that. So I don't know. I just think like, yeah, PlayStation will push it, but like media sites won't have enough to deal with it. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
As in they'll have like cookie cutter trailers from PlayStation. But as far as like hands-on demos and interviews that'll be exclusive and reveal very cool things and tidbits and get people excited about it, that won't happen. It'll just be cookie-cutter trailers and a few things that we've already seen. You know, stuff that we can see anywhere else, that's what we'll probably get. We won't get the really exclusive stuff, which are basically like whoring this game out around town. You know, here's the IGN interview with, you know, their own version of the gameplay. Here's the Machinima
Aaron,
version.
Did you light up during the podcast again? Hey, Josh, what were your thoughts on the order?
So I think right now the best thing it has going for it is that there's not much to play, so it instantly becomes appealing because people want big games to play on their brand new system.
But I'm not sure if that works for it. Since by the time this comes out, won't like Destiny and Watch Dogs and The Witcher and like, you know, five or six other hopefully good and big games be out by then?
Yeah, but I mean, people want to build up their library, I'm assuming. And like, what do we have between... There's no really real release date for this yet, but I mean, we have Watch Dogs is supposedly coming out. We'll see about that.
Spring. But it's never coming out.
Never. Maybe not. Probably not.
It only got delayed once. So yeah. It's not Duke Nukem or anything.
Let's hope not. So we got that. Thief's coming out. We have Infamous in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that I'm missing? I said Destiny, so that's like three big games. As of right now, I can't think of anything.
It's coming out this year, or what?
Yeah,
what time
yeah,
for you looking for? Oh, like, what? There's a lot coming out this year.
Yeah,
a lot of it's multi-platform, but it's still, you know, it's going to be next gen.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it looks cool. It does seem pretty standard, but again, it's a new IP, so we don't know what to expect entirely. Like Aaron said, it still has a lot more questions than answers.
I'm hoping it's just a bad showing. That's what I don't think. Because like, this looks like Gears of War, and they're wearing typical steampunk uniforms. They're wearing freaking Full Metal Alchemist uniforms, but they're Gears of War guys in London. Like that's the impressions I get. I'm hoping that, like, who knows, maybe later in the story, one of the heroes, you know, gets powers, and then powers are in the mix. Or they're in the first trailer, I think they showed like a lightning gun. Like I hope it's like, you know, just more creative stuff rather than, hey, here's Brown London We swapped Locust for guys that kind of look like Nazis. And by the way, we're not showing you any monsters. Like that, I hope this is just a bad showing. Because other than the graphics, there really is nothing impressive about this.
I feel like that they are keeping, like, they're playing it close to the chest here, not trying to show a whole bunch, because maybe it is a big story-driven game that they don't want to reveal too much yet. Like you said about the guns, though, from the little bit of digging that I've done, it sounds like that's going to be a big focus of kind of really odd, interesting weapons compared to, I'm sure there'll still be the standard machine gun and stuff like that, but it sounds like they're going to do, like, the Insomniac route of getting kind of crazy with the weapons and stuff, which, you know, at least for me, like with the Resistance series and such, I enjoyed seeing their kind of crazy varieties of weapons. So if they play up into that a bit more, that could be interesting. But I am hoping that they play it a bit, they're playing it a bit close to the chest here and not trying to reveal too much since it is a new IP. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. But they have more to prove by being a new IP because, like, they don't have that install base. Like, they do have, like, the Sony people, the Sony gamers and fanboys. But as far as, like, someone like me who's probably going to get PS4 soon and just, like, I'm just looking for whatever game impressed me, whatever game is worth $60. They already have a big challenge for me not just to rent this but to actually buy it with no MP. And then they're making it come across as a freaking Gears of War clone. Like I said, but I know this has only been, what, two trailers, so I'm not going to, you know, judge it harshly. But for the next one, I hope to see monsters. I hope to see weird guns. You know, I have maybe powers.
Really, you know, use the steampunk universe or style, right?
Yeah. You couldn't even tell this was a fantasy game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When I was watching, I was like, okay, you know, where's the steampunk stuff? Like, I'm not a steampunk fan. It's interesting, but sometimes it's just overused and they just get crazy. It's like, oh, look, it's steam, but here's, like, lightning and, you know, crap like that. It's like, I want to see why they pick steampunk. You know, that's, like, my biggest number one question right there. Why did you pick steampunk as a setting? You know, where are you going with this? You know, just that. Why? You know, you could have picked any sort of other setting. You could have picked, like, sci-fi, out in space, you know, current day, you know, World War II, you know, anything. But you picked steampunk. Why? Where are you going with this? You know, that can easily bite him in the ass. It's like, well, it's just like World War II guns and that's about it. But they have, like, cool, steamy looking things.
Look at their mustaches.
Oh yeah!
Buy the game.
Who wants a mustache ride?
Oh god!
But I mean, yeah, like that. To me, that's just the thing that bugs me the most. It's like, well, you brought up even Vince. Like, I didn't see, you know, thing one about any werewolves. They talked about half breeds, but it's like, okay, the selling point kind of was you fight werewolves. They show you taking on, looks like, a pack of werewolves. It's like, all right, are these things going to be like werewolves? Like, you know, what are they going to be? Are they just like enhanced humans? Are they just furry guys? You know, like, what are they?
Furry is hairy guys.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, where, you know, how, you know, powerful are they going to be? You know, are they going to require, like, a lot of shots? Are they going to require special ammo? Is certain guns only going to be useful against them? You know, what about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have the same feeling. Like, you can't just have, like, hey, we had a shootout in a dark brown alley. How cool is this game? Like, no matter how the graphics are, no matter how good they are, you have to do more than that. Especially with that boring trailer, like the non gameplay trailer, the guy just talking about half breeds and the order. That's the freaking name of the game. The order is there to fight monsters, but you showed us no monsters.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It, like you said, in all honesty, just feels kind of like almost Gears of War, but less. You know, at least with Gears of War, we had the chainsaw gun. Mm-hmm. You know, something that was actually pretty cool to look at. This is like, what do we have? What are the cool guns? You know, where is that basically that cool factor? You know, again, like, you're in steampunk. Take us on a little adventure. Have some fun with it. There's a lot of stuff you can do there, but it's like, what are you showing us? We have guns and cool-looking uniforms and mustaches. So
it didn't mention the lightning gun. Like, there's supposed to be different weird guns. Like, if you played Resistance or what else do they make?
Ratchet?
Clank. Yeah, Ratchet and Clank. Like, it seems like they're going for that vibe of just kind of putting some weird. And I think that's why they picked the steampunk. They're doing like an alternate history, and from what it sounds like, they're trying to put things together from that time period that could have possibly made a weapon and try to make it feel a bit more authentic and try and get a bit creative with it, which, I mean, like you guys said, they haven't shown too much of it. There's still a lot to be seen. The showing that they, or the big buildup that they kind of made around this, maybe wasn't as big a payoff as most people may have wanted, but I mean, they still have time to kind of show off, and I'm sure maybe with the lukewarm response that it sounds like it's received, maybe they'll show a bit more, get a bit out there about like what the half-breeds are and what the story is about them, maybe a little bit more to entice other people that have been kind of turned off to, you know, turn back and maybe take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely, they didn't, you know, it was kind of, just kind of slightly disappointed me. It wasn't like, oh, screw this game, I'm never going to play it. It's just like, you guys chose to show the wrong stuff. Like, maybe you shouldn't have shown anything at all, like, until you were ready to show what people are actually interested in or what makes your game, you know, unique.
Right.
Especially when you're a new IP. And this studio, Ready at Dawn, has been around for a little while, but I think this is like their first console game or one of their first console games, since they were just doing the PSP God of War stuff before, maybe some stuff before that. But like, this is kind of like their big coming out, so it's kind of like they just made it to the major leagues as far as development, making the big PS4 game this year. And you know, so you got a lot of proof. You can't just have a dark alley shootout,
right?
But are you guys ready to move on to the next story? Or is there anything else for this one?
Yeah, I guess I'm done angering up to my blood.
I don't know. The next one might make you angry. Irrational Games. Are you crying, Aaron? they're kind of closing down. Well, they are closing down.
Yeah, they're closing, but the guys are getting hired off left and right, or what I heard about. Like, I heard, like, Microsoft is hiring them. I heard Bethesda's hiring them, so...
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like a sad tale. And here's my thing, and if I piss anybody off, I really don't care. What do they do? You know, yeah, they did Bioshock. Okay, that's the one. That's a gimme I'll give you. They did Bioshock, and I think I played SWAT 4, and I kind of like that. But, I mean, other than that,
you know. System Shock 2.
Yeah, System over Shock. 10 years ago, you know, you can only ride the name of a game for how long? I mean, let's look at Sega here. You know, you can't say we made Sonic, you know, for a few decades.
They think they can.
They try.
All right, but to kind of finish the story, it's going to be Ken Levine and what, about 12 or 15 other people staying, and they're going to focus on downloadable, story-driven games. And everyone else is getting fired, or AKA laid off.
Well, yeah, because, like, what's going to happen with the Burial at Sea Part 2?
That's finished done. With that. That's done.
Yeah.
That's done? Okay, good. Because that's one thing I was interested in, even though it looks still like just gonna be a shooter thing. But, like, what all are they going to focus on as far as games, though? I mean, you know, where's the money in that? You know,
ask Telltale. Where's the money in that?
Well, Telltale, they're an actual full-on developer. I mean, you're talking, like, a major downsizing, you know. You're talking like Telltale now to when Telltale first started off doing, like, you know, probably before Monkey Island stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, doing those, just going by what I read, he said, it seems like, that's what I imagined, more of a Telltale direction. And looking at their strengths, it seems like they would be better at that than maybe making a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Bioshock was pretty darn creative. Bioshock Infinite, pretty darn creative as far as a story, you know, and a setting. You know, maybe as a shooter, but as...
SWAT 4 is really creative. No, I'm just looking through their game list. They really haven't made a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. They just, what, it's 1999, then nothing until Freedom Force, which seemed okay. I never tried that one. Then it was like a game a year almost up until BioShock, and then nothing until BioShock Infinite. Like, that's a six-year difference. I'm kind of wondering what they were doing. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, if I looked into it, I'd know what. But, I mean...
Maybe 2K was wondering what they're doing, too.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, guys, you've had 6 years. What are you going to give us? Here you go, BioShock Infinite.
But it does suck that they made this, you know, critically acclaimed game. Even though a lot of people seem to turn on it, like, 2 months after it came out. But they made this critically acclaimed game, and I read that both of their BioShocks made over $500 million. Oh, yeah. So in return, they get fired. other than the top people.
Well, who was their publisher? I mean,
2K is their publisher.
Oh, well, there's one reason why. I mean, they're just a few steps from being EA, aren't they?
They usually looked at as the nicer the nicer EA.
Mm. Yeah, see, when you have to say the nicer EA, and then you're kind of like, you know, it's kind of like we're back to the whole thing. They're a few steps before EA kind of thing. It's just like, that's the thing.
Well, this is any big company. Isn't every big company an a-hole? And like, they're just all of, if you're a big company, your employees are just ants that are useful to you.
If you're a publisher, I mean, if you look at most developers, that's the thing. Most developers are actually, you know, you can't look at a big developer and, you know, poo-poo them. It's usually the publishers, because what in all honesty do they do other than just say, hey, we got a game, here you go. There's so many developers out there that are self-publishing, and they seem to be doing just fine. You know, we were just talking about Telltale. Aren't they their own publisher? I think.
I want to say they are.
I'm going to look up. I think it's just Telltale Games.
I'm excited to see what they do with a smaller team. It's still kind of a bummer, and especially for the people who got laid off. Like, that's never good. But it does sound like that they've, you know, a lot of people have reached out to them. It sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, because having BioShock 1 and having BioShock Infinite on your resume, you know, is a really big achievement.
Yeah, and I feel like Ken Levine, it sounds like that would be a good fit for him. And he does say, like, highly replayable, so I'm interested to see, or specifically he says, like, a story-driven, highly replayable game. So I'm really interested to see what he does. He's got quite a talent for storytelling, you know, whether you liked BioShock Infinite or not. I liked it. The ending's a little bit crazy, but... You know, if you look at it at face value, it's pretty cool. And BioShock 1 is obviously a really great game with a good story. So,
I mean, but I think the thing is, like, when you think about it, that means we'll never have an Irrational Games BioShock.
Yes, again. That is a bit disappointing.
Yeah. And we know that BioShock 2 wasn't awful, but it wasn't BioShock, you know?
Right, yeah. So I'm sure they'll carry on the IP, whether that be for good or for bad.
What if they gave it to Rockstar? Like, hey, Rockstar, we need you. Can you do us a favor real quick?
Just do a crossover. Yeah. We'll be driving under in Rapture.
Actually.
Yeah, GTA and Rapture. There we go.
A Rockstar BioShock doesn't sound bad.
A Rockstar anything doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just think of the potential. It's like, ooh. Yeah, I'm into that.
But yeah, it doesn't look like Telltale is their own publisher.
Well, no, I mean, they kind of are, but they use Steam as a distributor. So they're like their own publisher. Yeah, that's the thing. That's like a topic for another day. I mean, Steam's like putting up so much crap lately. It's like, oh, look, you know, here's 505 Games. Okay, let's... They got a publisher, toss a game on there. It's like, oh no, don't! That's another piece of shit.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I mean, at least even you can't look at those worlds and say they aren't creative. I mean, even if you hate BioShock Infinite, that's a creative world.
Oh yeah,
you know, having the floating city, and especially Rapture. More so for me, Rapture. I thought Rapture was much more interesting, but still, Infinite definitely had a good good feel to it.
I mean, they were definitely one of the top teams around. Like, they were definitely the top 10, top 15, you know, teams around.
Like, honestly, what I was interested in, and I know they'd never do it, but I was, like you said, Joshua, I really liked Rapture, and I kind of wish there was a way to kind of literally just explore Rapture. Like, kind of make it almost an exploration kind of game where you just kind of wander on and just enjoy it. Because it was, for lack of a better way, it was pretty. I mean, there was so much going on, and I mean, it was like living inside an aquarium. You know, you could look out, you'd see, like, I remember when you were first brought down, you see giant squids, you see sharks, you'd see all sorts of stuff, and inside or under all that were just glowing buildings almost. I mean, it was just so well illuminated, and it's just so well done. I mean, when I first played Bioshock, I was like, wow. I just wanted to wander around and be like, what's over here? What's that? Oh, that looks so cool. What is this? What's that? Just really just take in that whole setting.
Yeah, they know atmosphere. They do it real good. And character, Andrew Ryan, like, he's one of my favorite characters from, like, the, you know, let's call it last gen. Let's get all, you know, throw those consoles under the bus. But, yeah, I mean, he's a really great character. I thought Comstock and Elizabeth were really great characters. It's kind of a bummer. It really is.
Yeah.
To know that they will not be putting out any other games under the Rational name. But I guess, you know, new beginnings. We'll see what comes with that.
Yeah. It's weird because I respect Bioshock a lot for what it tries to do. But it was never really one of my favorite games. Like, it's just like, yeah, I can see this is really well made and put in a lot of creativity was put into this. But it's like it was always like missing something. So I don't know. I'm wondering if whoever does it next can. I hope they should definitely do it their own way and not copy what Irrational did. I'm curious who gets Bioshock next. And I think a lot of people keep saying, "Oh, with the Bioshock Infinite's ending, that would have been the end of Bioshock anyway." I think if anything, that makes it infinite. Like literally, like you can keep doing Bioshock forever and just keep saying it's a different alternate universe, a parallel reality, or what, or whatever you want. Like I don't think Bioshock Infinite's ending limits anything.
Yeah, right. It's like how Assassin's Creed, they have the Animus, so it's like they can do whatever they want. They have a perfect story reason for it, and you know, I agree with you on the ending. Like that opens up any possibility they want to do. Whatever they want to do, it'll make sense in some way.
Yep. By making no sense, they made all the sense in the world.
Yes. There you go.
Does that apply to me too?
No. But the next story, Aaron, maybe you could walk us through that with the whole Doom beta and the New Order trailer.
The what now?
The Doom beta.
Oh.
This is a game called Doom. I think hell opens up on a spaceship.
Yeah, I just kind of zoned up for a second. I haven't heard anything like, wow, amazing. Because, you know, Doom 3 alone just made me go, meh. You know, they just now, you know, it took them how long to get around the fact that, hey, you can duct tape a flashlight to it. That's like a nonstop meme for that game. And even when you put that aside, it was okay. It was cool for a little while. Then it's like, all right, when's the next jump scare? You know, it was like basically jump scare the game. And Wolfenstein, I've never really gotten into the Wolfenstein, like, franchise, series, whatever it is. And it just seems like either one could be piggybacking off the other. I hate whenever I see that. I can't think of anything up until or before this, but I remember Dragon Quest VIII did the same thing. They had Final Fantasy XII demo included with it. So if you pre-ordered it, or you didn't have to pre-order it, you just had to get a new copy of it. You got Dragon Quest VIII, and then along with that, you got the demo for Final Fantasy XII. And that was like a big to-do. And that was a huge thing. And it turns out a lot of the funny thing, a lot of people were like, hey, Dragon Quest VIII is actually a really good game. So it's like, at first people wanted it for the demo, and that was it. And then they tried the actual game and said, hey, this is actually a pretty good game. So it's going to be like a similar situation. Is Wolfenstein using Doom, or is Doom using Wolfenstein? Are they basically using each other? And it turns out it's going to actually be worth getting that game, because both the demo and the game are actually going to be really good.
Mm-hmm. I think the two trailers for Wolfenstein look fine. They weren't like mind blowing, but they look. I mean, it looked like a pretty good rental. In my category, in my book, I would probably, from what they've shown so far, I'd probably rent it. I forgot what the release date is. This is what, the summer?
Maybe.
Yeah, especially if it's like during a down period, it was like nothing else coming out like that month or within the next couple weeks, I could definitely see myself renting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't care about a Doom beta. Like, there's nothing for me. That was like before my time almost.
Well, and also the way they, from what I've heard, it's kind of a messed up situation. It's like you don't get the beta right away. It's like you get it, and I'm assuming you get a code, and you give that code to Bethesda. I think it's Bethesda. And then they say, okay, once we get the beta, we'll let you know. And like, that's it. It's like they're just saying, okay, you have access to it, but you know, it won't be here for like 3 to 4 months. So it seems like to me the people that are going to pre-order the next Wolfenstein game just to kind of, yeah, I kind of like Wolfenstein, but I really want that Doom beta. You're going to be stuck waiting, you know. So it's kind of a moot point. It just seems like it might be a better way of getting it if you would actually say, day one, Wolfenstein's out, you've pre-ordered it, boom, you've got Doom beta ready to go.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, but who cares about Doom? My question.
Like, apparently it's still a thing.
Yeah,
same people that care about Sonic.
See, no, I one. Told you.
No one then. All right, next question. Who cares about Minecraft?
Say what?
Yeah.
Minecraft's old.
So what's this mini game thing?
All right, this is something that's in all honesty kind of stupid. It's been around for so long. It's been modded to all hell. So people have already made their own mini games. I mean, even if you just, I tried to like look up just a news article for this thing, and no, it was just YouTube videos galore on how to make mini games in Minecraft. And
what do you mean by mini games?
Like a shooting range. What else? And just basically things that people just made up. And the way you just gotta, because like if I remember right, someone actually made a computer in Minecraft using just like the redstone, which is like allows you to make mechanics in the game. And if I remember, I saw right. I think someone actually put in Flappy Bird in Minecraft. Yeah.
That sounds a little hard to believe, but okay.
No, I was sitting there watching. Someone said Flappy Bird Minecraft. I'm like, okay. And I was on Reddit. I clicked on. It's like, yeah. It's like,
then you got a virus after you clicked on.
No, it's just a GIF of because it's on Imgur and it's on like the front page almost of Reddit Gaming, and yeah, it was just the guy. Kept on like punching away a little block and then looking up the screen, it looks like, you know, an 8-bit version of Flappy Bird. I'm like, okay, or a really, really, really blocky version of Flappy Bird. I'm like, okay. It's like, how did you do that? And that's the thing. It's like people have already made these minigames and now they're just to the point they're making them official. And they're called Minecraft Realms, I think. Yeah, in the next patch. It's like patch 1.7.2 or something like that. They're going to have, it'll be like start game options, and then below that'll be like Minecraft Realms. And then it's only like, I think, 4 or 5 minigames. And then you start up, and then boom, it already like has the world created using that that minigame in mind. And then it just kind of tells you using like little signs like that. Here's the start button. You press this. Here's why you do this. You just. And off you go. It tells you in-game how to do everything. And, like, the one I did see, it looked like almost like a shooting, like a Plants vs. Zombies kind of setup, where basically the monsters are heading your way, and you just have a bow and arrow, and you just have to shoot them before they get to your base.
Hmm. So it's putting, like, real games into this non-game.
Yeah. Which is, you know, all right, because, again...
Go play a real game, then.
Well, I mean, the one thing I gotta give him credit... it actually took some creativity to do that. And I mean, I've seen a lot of the mods and they take creativity. So I'm going to say, here you go. I've made, you know, an airship in Minecraft. You know, there's so many things out there that it's just not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
So like they just got to the point like my Mojang was like, okay, let's just go ahead and put it in the game because it's such a big thing. Let's add that in. Like I don't know how many years I want to say it took them to add in horses, you know, just horses. Before people like the only thing you could ride in the game was a pig.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's like for even when I first started, like, okay, great, I can ride a pig. Are there horses? And I asked a buddy of mine, so when do I get to ride a horse in Minecraft? Oh, there are no horses in the game. What sense does it make to put a saddle in the game and the only thing you can put a saddle on is a pig and you can't control it?
It makes sense. You got to think about it.
You just wander around like an idiot praying to God it's going to eventually wander in the right direction you want it to?
No, the bronies kept banging the horses, so they had to take them out. And no one's going to mess with a pig, so...
So,
I don't know. Squeal like a pig, boy.
Josh, have you played Minecraft? Or is your brain melting like mine right now?
I played Minecraft like 4 years ago, I want to say. So like when it wasn't even officially released yet. So none of this was in there. It was just dig and keep digging deeper and deeper. And
Make a house.
Yes, make a house. Put lava in the house. Lava in the house.
Want to kill you?
You got to put like glass up and then you can have like a little waterfall of lava.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Final thoughts on this story before we go to the next story?
So are these like, when this patch comes out, are these mini games like automatically in the game? Like you can just, it's like a toggle?
As far as I understand, it's all going to be like official kind of thing, and you just download the next patch, and you'll see like a right at the very start menu. It's like Minecraft Realms. You just click on that button, and there you go. It just kind of it'll walk you through from that point. It's not. I don't think you have to download anything extra. They're saying, yeah, we'll put in more mini games down the road, but it's only going to be like these few for right now.
Doesn't that like defeat the purpose of the whole game? I mean, isn't Minecraft about you building whatever you want to build or whatever you can think of? And then just kind of putting in mini games sounds like the total opposite of what people play that game for. I mean, if they make it themselves, that's cool. And like you can show people like I made this by myself. I came up with it. But if it's just in there, it seems like why would it?
Isn't that like downloading a level for Little Big Planet though? Isn't that
like yes and no. I mean, I'll give you credit for that, but I mean the fact of the matter is how many people have done, you know, they played a level in say Little Big Planet and then that inspired them, you know, they found like one cool little mechanic I'm gonna use properly. It's like, oh, you know, I gotta remember that for my level, and they started using that and just eventually they made their own cool thing and the original inspiration was from that like rocket skate or whatever. So it's like, yeah, I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, it's like the only one I saw was very simple. So, you know, I've seen things like pressure plates that react that when you shoot with an arrow and like it lights up, you know. So like just the fact matters what mechanics you can put in your own Minecraft game. It's like, okay, here's a shooting gallery kind of game. All right, very simple, but let's see what I can add into it so they can make their own version of it.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay, our final story, and I don't know, it's kind of a big one. I wish we should dance with Donna's here since she has a PS4. Josh, do you have a PS4?
I do.
Okay. Our last one was just basically on top of resolution in games and all these resolution gates, which, you know, is a horrible phrase. I don't know who made that phrase up, but it's not a clever phrase at all. And by that I mean, like a lot of these multi-platform games. Over the last week, we found out Metal Gear, Solid, Thief, and a few other multi-platform games will be 1080p on PS4, and they'll either be 720p or 900p or upscale to 1080p on Xbox One. And actually, Aaron, as a PC guy, I'm curious what you think of this. Like, does this matter if you had a PC PS4 and Xbox One, like, will just, how much would this, like, sway your decision?
In all honesty, a game looking good doesn't really persuade me one way or the other. It doesn't dissuade me. It doesn't persuade me, because if it can be butt ugly but play really well, I'll play that more than the prettiest game on the block. Like, let's say Outlast just looked really good, but it didn't offer any real horror or anything like that. I wouldn't play it, and no one else would. It's got to actually have a core to it. You know, I mean, that's why kind of Call of Duty started being worn down after a while. It's like, oh, yeah, it looks good, but where's the core? What's new? You know, why do I want to play the game? If I want to watch something pretty, I'll go on Netflix or something like that. You know, I'll go watch some CGI movie. There we go. You know, I'll watch Iron Man 3 or whatever. I'll watch something in Blu-ray. Okay, great. It looks pretty. There we go. And I save myself $40.
But what if, in this hypothetical, you have a PS4, you have an Xbox One, and you want it to either, you know, rent or buy Thief, and Thief is 1080p on PS4 and it's, you know, 720 or 900 on Xbox One. Like, how much would that sway you to get what version of the game?
Is there anything else that's different?
No, everything else is the same.
If there's nothing else, then what it would come down to is, yeah, if that's the only difference, nothing else different, yeah, I'm going to go more for the 1080p rather than 720. But that's because if there's no difference in price point, no difference in content, no difference in playability or functionality, nothing else at all, yeah, it's I'm going to go with that one extra little perk. And it's so minor. To me, it doesn't even matter. You might as well just be playing the shell game at that point. You know, pick a game, any game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you get the 721. All right. And then walk away. Like we talked about with the Order 1886, you know, we're talking about how it's only going to be 1080p and 30 frames per second. And we just got done saying from the trailer right now, which, you know, it's subject to change, it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's like you can say, oh, it's only going to be in 1080p resolution. And? I mean, for a lot of people who don't understand resolution, it's just basically like when it comes down to a size. You know, the larger your monitor, the larger the resolution you're going to need. That's why like 4K TVs are kind of special. You're not going to see, I don't think there's going to be like a 4K 20-inch TV. I think that has to have like a minimum size to it in order for it to be that kind of resolution, right?
I think to matter, I think it needs to be a certain size.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what it comes down to, is just sheer size. So if you're gaming on like maybe like a small, I don't know, like 30, I don't mean small, smaller than what, you know, like people consider big screen. It's like you're gaming, like I say, a 28 inch or 30 inch or whatever TV. In all honesty, 1080p, 720p, you're not going to see that much of a difference. Not really. But if you're on like, you know, a 60 inch projection screen, yeah, you're going to probably see a difference between 720p and 1080p. But I mean, anybody else would. You know, you're going to see a difference between a VHS and a Blu-ray at that point. You know, it just, that's what it all comes down to. It's like, oh, it's only 720p, it's only 1080p. You know, that's just a shame. You know, it just won't look that good. Well, what's your gaming setup? You know, are you playing it on, like, let's say, a little LG TV and that's it? You know, in college dorm room? Are you playing in your parents' basement on a big, you know, 58-inch TV? You know, what is it? You know, that's what's going to come down to. You're not going to be able to, like, 720p versus 1080p. Again, you're not going to see the difference if it's a smaller size screen. Not really.
And, all right, Josh, your side.
All right, so I mostly agree. As for, like, it does make a difference on bigger screen TVs, but even if it's 900p on a 40-inch TV, like, unless you're really looking, I don't think you're going to notice a big difference between the 1080p and 900p. As for like because I do in fact have the Xbox One and PS4, and if I was given these, I would go for the PS4. But if it's a multi-platform game that, you know, maybe I had more friends on the Xbox side and it was a little bit less of a resolution, I mean, I'm going to go for that. I'm going to go where...
So if like this was happening with Destiny and you had more of your, most of your friends on XBL rather than PSN, you would go Xbox One?
Yeah, I mean, how much of a difference can 900p and 1080p be? I'm sure there's a ton of people that are like, oh, there's a big difference. For me, I don't see it. The big factors are just how I like the controller. And where my friends list is. So if it's a single player game, I'm going to go for, you know, the 1080p. Just if it's a bit more than fine, I'll go with that. But again, if it's, you know, between my friends list and I got to pick between a 1080p version of, like you said, Destiny or 900 or 720, whatever it is on Xbox One, I'm going to go with that because I'm going to play it online. I'm going to play with my friends. I want to play with as many of them as I can. I'm not going to sacrifice that just for a slight bump in resolution.
I mean, I more or less agree with both of you. The only thing that I find troubling is, well, first of all, the whole like fights this causes online, which I just try to largely avoid. But I guess those type of people will argue about anything, so that doesn't really matter. But the only thing I find troubling is that we're so soon into this generation, and the Xbox One is kind of struggling to keep up. Like, not even just from a sales perspective, I'm talking from a technical perspective. It hasn't even been out for 6 months, and developers are saying, you know, it would have been a struggle to get this game on 1080p on this system with a solid frame rate. Like, that is the like, what the hell is going on to me?
Yeah, that's a bit more troubling there. I mean, you can always look back to the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, how the Unreal Engine like struggled so badly on the PS3, and eventually got sorted out. Like, that's still early. I mean, they're still figuring things out.
Yeah, I mean, and from a little bit I've read, it seems more the PS4 does have better specs, but it's not really just that. It's that Microsoft is using a lot of like allocating a lot of those resources for the TV and for the crappy Windows 8, whatever they're calling this on, you know, Xbox One. Like, they're allocating so many resources away from games and to all this other stuff. It's the main reason why, you know, there's a resolution difference and why maybe, you know, years from now the Xbox One exclusives won't look as good as the PS4 exclusives. So, I don't know, maybe, you know, Microsoft and the engineers can figure out, okay, we can give up 10% of, you know, our non-gaming stuff and put that in the gaming and fix the problem, or maybe fix through some other software engineer angle. But it's definitely a problem, you know, that they need to tackle.
So, did you see that story where it was like in development that Microsoft was looking to divert power from the Kinect to like give more RAM or something? Did you guys hear about that?
I didn't read that, no.
I'm going to try and find the story, but it basically sounded like that they were going to use some of the hardware in the Kinect and kind of reformat it to give the Xbox a bit of a boost here.
Well, I don't, that doesn't sound right, but okay.
I couldn't believe it either. I'm going to find it for you.
So that means if you plug in your Kinect, it'll run like 10% better.
Yeah.
It's just another NSA spying trick to get me to connect my Kinect.
See, like, the one thing I almost forgot, but Vince, you kind of reminded me about this. The only reason I have not gotten a next gen console yet is, the biggest thing for me, if I want to get one, it's got to offer something to it. You know, I don't really care how much better a game's going to look, because games look really good on the PS3 and 360. The only reason I want more power games is so I can get more out of my games and not just get better-looking games. If I want better-looking games, you know, sorry, but it's going to come down to PC, because PCs are always going to be more powerful than console. Yeah. Oh, a new console just came out. Well, guess what? You're probably going to spend a lot more money on a PC, but that PC is going to be more powerful than that console any other day of the week.
That would buzz me when I see like console fanboys arguing over like just little stuff. Like, they ask like, well, dude, if it's not 60 frames at 1080p, then screw it. Well, you were a 360 or PS3 guy.
Yeah.
So, and you weren't doing 1080p and 60 frames a second back then. Like, if you cared that much about the technical aspects, then you would build your own computer and you would be exactly. a PC gamer anyway.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like everybody keeps on going on about like the visuals and like that. That's fine, but here's what it comes down to. Like, okay, perfect example. I want a game that's going to last longer in Infamous Second Son than it did in Infamous 2. That's what a PS4 game versus a PS3 game should do. It should not only maybe look a little bit better, but it should be maybe lasting a little bit longer or having more content in general. Because the console has more power. If it's just going to look better, then again, just get a PC. Done. It's always going to look better on a PC. Bar none. There's no, you can never say, like, no one can ever say a console will ever look better than a PC. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not in this stage of the game. Ever. I mean, it's a joke. Like, because Skyrim alone on PC is going to be, because of all fact matters, you can take almost any game, and if you can mod it, you can instantly make it look better. Because mods will always allow you to tweak certain graphic settings and whatnot. So, it's a big joke that the people are going to go on about frames per second and resolution when they're talking about console games.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be a graphics whore, then you need to be a PC gamer. If you're a graphics whore and a console gamer, then it doesn't make sense. But, yeah. I mean, if you're a real gamer, then hopefully you just play on every platform and don't care about these silly billion-dollar companies going at each other.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, just where's the content? You know, games aren't meant to look amazing. They're meant to actually be worth your time and money. You know, a $20 brand new movie gives you, what, 2.5 hours, something like that? A $60 game should be quite a bit longer than that. I don't want looking amazing. If I want to see something amazing, I'll go watch Avatar again or something like that. You know, it just really kind of irks me whenever people start bitching about these little things rather than, you know, oh, well, it looks really good, but, you know, there's these bugs here, there's this problem, there's that problem. It's like, okay, did you tell the company? Did you tell them, hey, you guys screwed up, and actually voice your opinion and say, quit making games that look good and let's kind of make it so they're playing well. Don't care about the resolution, guys. Care about the fact of whether it's going to actually be a good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just fuel for the fire of the console wars at this point. The resolution stuff.
Yeah.
Something that one competitor can say to the other or one fanboy can say to the other and just like, haha, mine is better than yours. You guys suck. Blah, blah, blah. All that good stuff you get to see. And it makes it's not a big deal, at least to me. It seems like to most people it's not, just the vocal minority. It sounds like it's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, just like I said, it's fueling internet fights. But I mean, like I said, it's, for me, I'm just worried about the more long-term effects. Like, I hope,
yeah,
I hope, you know, the Xbox One can last as long, or at least nearly as long as the 360. And, you know, and the same for the PS4. I want them to actually compete against each other, since that's better for us, you know, the gamer.
Yeah, we just need to wait and see. It's still early. I'm sure they'll get a better hang of it. We just got to wait as stuff develops.
Give it 8 months, and then things will actually be better developed. They'll understand the systems.
Yeah, maybe. Like I think what Josh, you brought up a good point with the PS3. They know, like, what the hell to do with that the first few months. But it seemed like programming difficulties more than anything else. It seemed like this is kind of using the same architecture as the 360. I don't know, but who knows? Like, we just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, let's go ahead and wrap it up. You can find us at, let's see, we got the Twitter at EntertainFuse. Of course, on iTunes, you can always find us there. Pretty much anywhere Entertainment Fuse is at, you can find Digital High. So that means Facebook, YouTube, the actual site itself, entertainmentfuse.com. There's Twitch, but we don't really have any real affiliation with that yet, hopefully. I think that's it for everything for Digital High. Am I missing anything, Vince?
No. Every, what, Friday evening?
Yes.
A podcast.
Every bye, no later than, let's say, 6:30 Central Time, you can find the podcast on at least the website, entertainmentfuse.com, YouTube, things like that. I'm guessing iTunes as well, maybe, by Friday?
By the time the weekend is over, okay. iTunes can take a couple of days longer.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so again, just if anything, look us up on the website. That's usually the fastest way to find us. So is that our social media stuff? Vince, you got nothing? We already know that.
Yep. Nothing.
I got my Twitter, Aaron_GGF. I use that every now and then. I've been under the weather, so I haven't really been that active on there. And my Twitch, I've not touched in pretty much a week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that, because of Lightning Returns. But that's just Aaron GGF right there as well. Or no, it's GGF Wolfus, sorry. And I think that's about it. Yeah. How about you, Josh?
I've got my Twitter, at JHF28. And I've also got my personal Twitch account, which is SackmanJones42. But my Twitter, I usually... Because I've been doing quite a few things on the website's Twitch. We started doing that streaming stuff. It's been going good. So if you follow my Twitter on there, I usually post it at Twitch, which is just Entertainment Fuse, I think, if I'm remembering right.
Yep, Entertainment Fuse.
So, and those usually go up on the site. Like we'll post when we're scheduled to go live and do all that sorts of stuff. So yeah, that's it for me.
Cool, cool. All right. Any last words, guys, before we head on off?
No, not really.
No? Nope.
I wish I could still play Titanfall.
Yeah, me too.
Did they say anything about starting up another beta or anything like that? Or
no.
Just waiting for the game to release?
Yeah, if it releases in, what, like two weeks? 2-3 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, that's understandable. Yeah. You can wait that long.
I can try. I have Battlefield 4, so.
There you go. That can hold you over. All right, guys. This has been Entertainment Fuse presents Digital High, and we're off. Talk at you later. Digital High.